の一歩を踏み出す目の一歩を踏み出す初めの一歩目の一歩を踏み出す目の一歩を踏み出す初めの一歩
Welcome to a special edition of 810 Hanshin Tigers English News. This is episode 80 and we are recording live. Well, we're always recording live, aren't we? I mean, you can't record in retrospect. But anyways, we are at Koshien Stadium, under the bridge, right where the Oendan celebrates wins, and we are post-game.
Unfortunately, we're not celebrating the win today.
As you can tell, there's no Oendan here cheering, except there's a couple of dudes behind us, a couple of feet away, that are singing Oryx songs because they beat us tonight. So I am here, this is T-Ray, as always, and I am here with Jake, the co-host, the extraordinaire, as well as a special guest all the way from Dubai.
Sir Boy Zorny here. Hey guys, what's up?
You have heard Zorny's voice before. You have seen him on the vodcast if you are into that kind of thing. But Zorny is here in Japan on holidays and he has been taking in the action all across the nation. You've been to?
So Hiroshima, Fukuoka, Osaka, and next it's going to be Tokyo.
Right, so he's checking out the NPB and obviously like he's been in games before and he follows probably more closely than all of you from Dubai. Not to insult any of you, we love you all, but that's what's
going
down.
That's way more than I ever get to see, and I'm living right here in Japan.
Yeah, for sure.
I give some props for that, for sure.
Really cool stuff. So, yeah, it was the three of us plus one of our buddies, Jimbo, who, thanks to him, we've got some jingles on the show. We took in the game together. It was kind of an H10 family affair, and we had good times. We were in the Excite seats.
Yes, exactly.
How excited were you guys?
It was exciting. I mean, honestly, the whole package comes with, I mean, you get some swag, you know, so you get your gear, your little bats and your balloons and stuff, and then you can take a little walk down the ground afterwards. So I thought it was great. I've never actually gotten to do the little tour down there. And we were, I mean, right up close to the action too. So I gotta say, it was pretty cool. I've never sat in that area of the stadium before, so I had a good time.
Yeah, me too. I had a great time just being with the guys and you know, the people around us too. I think they enjoyed the presence of four rather large gaijin and some doing some cheering in English and some jeering in English and some cheering Japanese and a lot of jeering in Japanese as well. So there was
unfortunately some jeering to be done tonight.
Absolutely.
Was a few slightly wacky tomaki moments, but you know, hey, that's just what you get when you're a Tigers fan these days. So
just
go with the flow and let the jeers fly and have fun. Yeah,
life as a Tigers fan, especially in 2018. So we are going to take you through some of the recaps of the action right after this. All right, well, let's jump right into today's game since it's fresh on our minds, or is it? And then we'll go back and branch back to where we were last time. So tonight, we had Randy Messenger on the mound, and they had Andrew Albers on the mound from Saskatchewan, Canada. He threw a great game. He actually did quite well, and Messenger, unfortunately, did not. He gave up back-to-back home runs to cough up a slim 2-1 lead, so we're not pinning this one on him by any means, but back-to-back jacks in the, was it the fifth inning?
I think so, fourth or the fifth, yeah, I was around there.
Yeah, fairly early in the game. He left after the fifth, so I think it was the fifth inning that he had the rough inning. So we lost 3-2, and we were talking a little bit about the wacky Tomowackies. What was the wacky for you guys, Jake and Zorny?
It was the three consecutive bunts. That, to me, was just like, I never see anything like this. It was the first time ever, like, bunt.
Let's paint the picture. But Oyama hit a leadoff double, and next up was Umeno. And we were down a run, by the way. It was 3-2 at this point, and that was the final score. And I sarcastically, jokingly said, watch, Umeno's going to bunt him over to third. Exactly as I ordered. And then we brought in a pinch hitter for Messenger, and it was Fumiya Hojo.
Yes.
And we were like, he ain't going to try a squeeze play here. No way. Sure enough, he does. First, I think he blew it. Or no. Anyways.
No, he almost blew.
So Fumiya Hojo comes up, and he pinch bunts, right?
Yes.
Couldn't believe it.
And it should have been an out, actually, because the only reason he made it on the base was the error, right?
Yeah,
right, exactly. Down the third base.
And that allowed, but fortunately for us, that allowed for a third consecutive bunt, because now we've still only got one out with runners on first and third, and Kai Ueda comes up and tries to squeeze. He bunts it foul, and that kind of saved us, because then he actually went in and tried to hit, and he blew it, and then Itohara blew it, and we got no runs. But just like, two straight bunts. One of them, you know, fell into our lap as an error. And then the attempt at a third bunt is like, why are we playing such tiny small ball here?
This is even smaller than small ball. I don't think I've ever seen ball this small, to be honest with you. Like, three bunts in a row. This is definitely the first time I've ever seen three bunts in a row in any baseball game, or bunt attempts, I should say, in any game I've ever seen. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna say it right now. Cue the Wacky Tomwacky music.
Huh? What? What's this Wacky Tomwacky? Huh? What?
Because it needs to be drilled home. This was just ridiculous.
Usually you bunt when you have a strategy, right? I don't think there was any strategy at all. Just guys bunting at just free will, and that's what happened.
Bro, it was the fifth inning, exactly. And we need one run to tie. But if it was a case where all we need is one more run this game and we're set, I get throwing away two outs for a run. Like, if those two bunts had been landed and we got the run and it was game over, walk off, bunt, win, which sounds ridiculous, like, I would accept that. But in the fifth inning, when there's still four full innings to play for both teams, you don't throw away outs like that. You don't bunt like that. Wacky. You don't bring in a pinch hitter to bunt. And especially, like, Fumiya Hojo, who's not really known as a superb bunter. So that was the wackiness that we got to experience tonight. Yeah. But it made for some fun in retrospect. I mean, just that we were able to yell our disapproval at Kanemoto and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything more to say about this game?
Not really. I mean, Messenger just... rare for Messenger. He was not his usual sharp self. I think he threw... How many pitches did he throw in the first inning? Like
35 or
35,
like
almost 40. So that was a bit of a shock.
He went over 100 pitches for his five innings of work.
Yeah, so rare sort of implosion on his part, but yeah.
To me, the bottom of the ninth, when we needed to rally, the guys, I'm really disappointed. Nakatani, Yokawa, and Oyama. Yeah. That was really disappointing. Nakatani, not that much, because he kind of fought.
Yeah,
but
he battled.
But like, yeah, exactly. And Yokawa and Oyama, hitting the first pitch that you see, come on, we're trying to rally here, and all of a sudden you blow all of our chances.
Yeah.
So like that was very, like, very disappointing.
The chances of getting a hit off a closer on the first pitch that you see are pretty slim, especially guys good as Masui. Now, one more thing, yeah, Nakatani, he almost legged out a single. They actually did a video replay, and turns out he was out, so that was kind of, well, I don't want to say even bad luck. I mean, that's the system now, and so it worked for Oryx. Sometimes it works for us. Okay, let's move back now into the last 2 weeks. So the last time that we talked to you, Randy had won a game, and again, he wasn't his best in that one either. I think he went six innings and three runs, but he got the win in Kurashiki. The day that we recorded, we rained out, and the very next day, we had one of the best pitching outings of the year for Hanshin with Takumi Akiyama, who I believe went nine innings of shutout ball. The winning runs in that one, it was a 2-0 win at Koshien, were off the bat of
Willian Rosario.
The Nigun Willian Rosario. That's right.
Who is no longer with us, unfortunately. Yeah, but you know, that's another story. We can talk about that later.
Newsflash, they're hunting for new gaijin. Wow. Why are we doing this in June? Why didn't we do this in October or November?
Yeah.
Anyways, we're not gonna complain too much about the front office yet. Well, so okay, getting back to what happened, Akiyama won the game, and then the very next day we had a three set against the Omiri Giants at home. The last time we saw them at home, they swept us. This time, we swept them, which was pretty sweet revenge.
And the first game was amazing, too. I mean, we had Iwasada up against Sugano, so
that's a mismatch if I ever heard one.
Right. Yep. You didn't expect to win that one. I mean, it doesn't matter who's going up against Sugano. You don't expect you're going to come away with a win in that one.
Well, but one run was all it took. It was a home run by Itoi, I think, in the fifth inning. And Iwasada went, I think, seven clean or eight clean, something like that. Zero runs. And so we win that one 1-0. The very next day, they got Taguchi on the mound, and we had Ono on the mound. We ended up pulling off a 5-4 win in that one. We were up 4-2, and then somebody gave up two runs to make it 4-4. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Nakatani hit one through the infield, and Dolis with some spot on defense in the ninth inning. He, on a bunt attempt, he threw out the lead guy at second, and then the guy that remained on first after that, he picked them off, and so that was two outs right there. Sweet stuff. That was a great game. I was at that one. Thanks Scott Matheson for the tickets, and that's another story saved for another episode. And then Sunday we got Hiroto Saiki on the mound, the rookie, his second start ever, and he was awesome, man. We won that one 9-1. And that one had a really cool ending.
Yeah, I didn't quite follow. What exactly happened with that one?
It was a ground out double play to left field is how it's in the record book, which is ridiculous. What happened was it was a fly ball to Nakatani. He caught it. This was the one out and the bases loaded. He caught it. But when he was transferring it through his throwing hand, he bobbled it. The ump ruled that he didn't catch it. That means it's a live ball. That means all runners need to advance a base. Nakatani threw it to third. The guy was stuck on second thinking it was a sack fly and he couldn't move. Through to third, out. The third baseman threw it to second, out. Game over.
Okay.
Takahashi, he kind of protested a bit and then he said, whatever, we're down 9-1. Screw this. I'm going home. I'm going back to Tokyo. So that was it. So we won that one.
I mean, Nakatani had a good couple of games because he walked off in the game before that. His first walk-off, I believe, ever, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is awesome. I mean, just to see the smile on his face. You know, he's kind of been through a bit with Kanemoto and whatnot, kind of had his ups and downs. And this year, too, you know, he's been down in the Nigun for a while. So that was really cool to see him walk off on that one. And, yeah, just to finish off the other game with like that was pretty interesting. What a way to finish it. But, hey, you know, I kind of like it. It's kind of a humiliating way to send the Giants back to Tokyo after they humiliated us earlier in the season. So
absolutely.
Good on it. I'm glad for it.
That put us at a five-game win streak, which is a season high. And
oh,
it
my
looked
God.
Like,
that's something.
And it looked like, okay, the PL, Pacific League, who are they? Who are they? Come into our building. Just try and beat us. We are the Mighty Tigers. SoftBank comes in and beats us three straight.
Yeah. Who are they? They're, as Pedro Martinez would say, they're my daddies. And unfortunately, yeah, SoftBank was our daddies this time in this series.
Ouch. And out. So I was at the Tuesday game and we had Messenger on the mound and we lost that one 1-0. Messenger went 8 innings of shutout ball and Dolis lost it in the top of the ninth. It was kind of unfortunate, a little bit of unfortunate stuff going on. He wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. And our bats, we I think got 8 hits and 7 walks on the day and we got no runs. So rough stuff there. And then the next two games, Haruto Takahashi, he took one. SoftBank was his daddy, that's for sure. We lost that one 6-3. And then Akiyama came in and had an uncharacteristically poor outing. And we lost 2-5. And so through those games, by the way, 3 games, we got no extra base hits. We got 1 RBI hit in those 3 games. So despite the fact that we scored, a whopping 5 runs, only one of them was on an RBI hit.
We will return to your scheduled programming shortly, or we are currently experiencing technical difficulties.
All right, now that ambulance has passed us by here, we'll get back into the podcast. This is one of the things when you record out in the open like this, you got to deal with that. So.
Especially after a Hanshin loss, you know, there tends to be stuff that causes people to do bad things that might cause the police or the ambulance to be called.
It was an ambulance, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that was Kanemoto going to the hospital to recover from those 3 bunts he ordered up today. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Because I didn't hear the post-game interview yet, but I'm sure he's blaming this one on either Umeno or Hojo or Ueda. How could you not land that bunt? Shame on you. So.
Anyway, yeah.
So here we go. We went off to Saitama to face the PL-leading Cebu Lions.
Yep.
Iwasada on the mound on Friday, and our slumping ways continued. We were up against Yusei Kikuchi, who could have been the Sawamura Award winner last year were it not for Sugano. Anyhow, we got 0 runs against him. He struck out 9 in 6 innings, even though he's coming off injury. We had a couple chances and we could not capitalize. We lost this one 2-0. I got nothing to say about shutout losses.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching was relatively good. You can't really, you know, fault that too much. But the bats are just not doing it, you know. So, you know, when a pitcher, I always feel like if a pitcher has a quality start, the team should really have a good chance of winning. I know that doesn't always hold true if you're up against a really, you know, good pitcher like Sugano or someone like that. But, you know, when your guy does his job and you still, the bats just can't muster anything, it's just really disappointing, yeah. So I feel kind of bad for Iwasada on that one too, but.
Yeah, he gave up a run in the first inning, and I don't want to say that set the tone, but that put us behind real early. Or at least, if I remember correctly, that's what happened. So let's move on to happier times, at least temporarily. Saturday, we had Ono on the mound. Yeah, he was up against Tawata, so our buddy Christian was all excited because it was a Fuji Daigaku matchup.
Yeah.
Well, this one was far from a pitcher's duel. Neither of them did particularly well. I think Ono did worse than Tawata, but after Tawata left, the Tigers' bats came out, especially a particular guy by the name of Yoshio Itoi, who hit the first Grand Slam home run in 2 years, almost 2 years. for the Tigers. And that one put us ahead. I think the score was 4-3, and it put us up 7-4. And we ended up winning this one 10-5. So, yeah, the bats came to life. It was a great game. Tanigawa with his first career win in this one. Any comments on that one, or did you guys catch it? I know, Zorn, you're already in Japan.
Nah, yeah, but the thing is, I probably was in another game, so I couldn't watch.
I think maybe half of it live. I actually shut it off a little bit before Itoi's Grand Slam, so I was kind of kicking myself for that. But I went back, watching the replays. Man, that was so nice to see. Finally, we've had so many times that the bases have been loaded and they just couldn't capitalize it. Finally, someone comes through. So,
yeah,
good on you, Itoi. You made some... Finally, Tigers fans had something to really cheer about for the first time in a long time on the offensive side of things. So, you're hoping that was going to carry over into the next day.
Miraculously, I had this one on, despite the fact that we were riding a four-game losing streak and we were losing in this one and it looked like we had no hope. I'm like hopelessly and pathetically addicted to Tigers, so I turned the TV off once and said, screw this, screw you guys. And then I turned it back on when I had a bit of free time and I caught the Grand Slam. But anyways, that was just enough to get me back on with the hopes like, hey, if we can get 10 runs in this game, maybe our bats are going to turn things around. We kind of did the next day, but not really. We ended up losing 10-5. Fujinami was on the mound. Yeah. And guys, I'm going to argue that Fujinami actually had a good outing.
So the first two runs he gave up were not his fault. They should have been a double play that Ueda bobbled and messed it up. So that led to two runs scoring. And so, yeah, I don't think he can be blamed for that. And the next, I think, three or so innings, he was just lights out. I think
three up, three down for three straight innings.
Right, yeah. I mean, he looked great. Again, though, it's like we said before, at least I've said it before, with Fujinami, my personal opinion is, he just starts to tank really fast. And so you got to be quick to get in there and get him out. And once again, unfortunately, things started to fall apart, and Kanemoto, I feel, left him in just a little bit too long, and things went downhill really fast.
And he's been deactivated, but he's still working out with the top squad. And so Kanemoto has said that in 10 days, he may get another chance at a start. And I kind of feel like, Kanemoto actually did the right thing here because he's protecting him from getting a start at Koshien, where... I think the fan pressure, truth be told, because he's still Fujinami who screws up and Fujinami who walks too many guys. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day, actually a scout for the Hiroshima Carp, and he said, the problem with Fujinami is when he gets his first walk of the game, every pitcher walks batters, right? But when Fujinami gets his first walk, the whole crowd is like, ah, again, come on, Fujinami. And dude, he hears that, and it doesn't matter how mentally strong you are, that's going to get to the strongest of people.
And he in particular seems like the kind of guy who might get to you.
He's a bit fragile,
He's a little bit on the fragile side, so you expect that would sort of get to him too. And you notice that in the way he plays, when he's on, he's on, and then when a runner gets on base or, he hits a guy or walks a guy, things start to fall apart, it starts to get a little bit shaky, and that sort of ends up snowballing a little bit. So I can see that for sure,
Yeah, and so to branch back, in 10 days, Hanshin will be back on the road. Either they'll be in Sapporo or they'll be in Sendai, playing either the Fighters or the Eagles. And that's a good opportunity to give Fujinami another outing on the road where there's not that much of a crowd. I would like to see him actually pitch in Sendai. The reasons are several-fold, but one, the Eagles stink. And two, the last time he pitched there a couple of years ago, he threw a one-hitter. I don't know if you guys remember this.
No, I don't.
And then after the game, during the post-game, whatever, he was like, he said something about the Sendai fans being very kind. And he said, I don't hear the jeers like I do at Koshien or something like that. At the time, he still was not, the shell of himself that he is now. But that was kind of towards the start of his breakdown. But when he said that, it was kind of like, it was kind of that hint, like, maybe... he doesn't love pitching at Koshien so much.
Ah, man, that really bumps me. It kind of bumps me up to hear that, because it's like, you sort of wonder if, like we've talked about this before, but is he the kind of guy who would really benefit from a change of scenery? And I don't like to think that because I'd like to see him be his best, like with the Tigers, but I can also see that being a problem. Yeah, he's the kind of guy who might actually benefit from a change of scenery, so... I wouldn't want that to happen because I want to see him be his best, at Koshien. But you never know. It might be that kind of thing where it's just not going to work out for him. But we'll see. He's kind of on the elevator between here and not Ohama, just going up and down and up and down. So I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, well, I may have mentioned this on a previous show, but I remember reading an article that said there's two possible ways for Fujinami to bounce back and to be the ace that he's meant to be. One, he gets traded, and two, Kanemoto gets canned. Yeah. And truth be told, I'd prefer the latter.
Yeah.
Hey, so thank you, Jake, for editing as much as you do. You guys are, you know, hearing a lot of ambulance sounds, and then yeah.
Yeah, this is not the ideal recording conditions, but hey, it's good. We get the atmosphere. We're literally sitting, you know.
We can see the ivy of Koshien Stadium.
Ivy, yeah. So it's pretty cool to do it.
So yeah, I'm a bigger Fujinami fan than I am Kanemoto fan. Certainly, yeah. Kanemoto the manager. So.
Yeah, let it be clear. It's Kanemoto the manager, okay? Kanemoto the player, he was amazing, but right now, like, I mean. What are we going to do with him? Like, it's like bad decisions all the time. Walking to Milwaukee, you know. It's tough to endure, that's for sure.
Bunty to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Bunty, yeah. Jeez.
My goodness.
Well, I said earlier in the day, but I'm hoping, I got my fingers crossed for Randy Messenger, manager Messenger, at some point along the way. Once he decides to hang up the uniform, I think he might be a good manager for the Tigers at some point. I know that's pure conjecture on my part, but... Right now, I take basically anyone over Kanemoto. So.
Yeah, the thing with anyone as manager is they're under a terrible amount of scrutiny, and you know, I'm not saying Randy couldn't handle it, but I like Randy Messenger a lot right now. I like him perfectly fine right now. If he's under scrutiny and if he makes questionable decisions, which could happen,
the media's like, going to pile on him.
Yeah, they'll pile on him more than they would on any Japanese player or manager, and. I don't want my admiration of Randy to be tainted by him being a poor manager either. And I'm not saying he would be, but I worry that if that were the case, then I would feel the same way about him as I do about Kanemoto now, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. No, that's legit. I totally, for me, it's mostly, I'm just looking at Kanemoto and the way he's managing things. I'm like, anybody would be better right now. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I believe this is Kanemoto's last year of his contract. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, the way they're playing now, I don't think he'll be renewed.
Yeah.
You know, because the plan was, he said, like, give me 3 years and I'll rebuild this team.
Hasn't happened.
No, he ain't done it.
Because this team is underperforming. I mean, there's guys who could be playing so much better than they are.
There's not a lot of home runs.
Yeah, I mean, guys are underperforming. I mean, Umeno might be a special case. I'm not really sure because he's been pretty bad for a couple years now. But, like, Oyama is not a 200 batter. You know, Nakatani, again, I mean, it's probably more of a play discipline thing with him. But I think he's got much more potential there that's just not being realized. There's just a lot of guys, I think, up and down the order where...
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the Rosario thing, too. You know, it's hard to really say what's going on with that. You know, obviously a lot of it, it's clearly he can't hit those low and outside pitches, too.
Yeah.
But then again, you figure there'd be some, I don't know, something that would get him to sort of come around and at least start laying off those pitches a little bit more. I don't know, you know. But you know, when you see the whole lineup, top to bottom, underperforming, you got to start thinking it's not just individual guys. There's something organizational going on. And I don't know. You know, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't see behind the scenes
Kataoka.
There.
But, no, I don't know for sure. But that brings up an interesting question, you guys. Let's talk about this a little bit. You know, so Rosario got farmed, I think it was after Saturday's game, but which he didn't play in. So his last game that he played was last Friday against the Lions, and he looked awful in that one. And we all agree that the fact that he was farmed is not, that was not a mistake. But what I want to ask you guys is, what do you think of the timing of this? Because we've seen Kanemoto especially... But really, a lot of the Hanshin managers, but I would say especially Kanemoto, impatient with the Gaijin hitters, especially.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of his timing, waiting, 49 games to farm Rosario? So let's talk about his timing, dropping him to 7th in the order, and also farming him. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Okay, I think, I don't know if it's like, it was a decision based on the management, like something above Kanemoto, that, you know, settle down a little bit. We need this guy. We need this guy to perform, you know, like lately we're not doing so well with Gaijins, you know, like, so let this guy work and let's see how he goes. I don't know if it's up to Kanemoto. I mean, this decision was up to Kanemoto, or if it was something like the management, you know. I don't know. But I'm really impressed because, like, the last, four Gaijins or...
At least three.
Yeah,
Hager,
exactly.
Campbell and Rogers.
Exactly, you know, it didn't last that long, you know, so I'm really impressed. to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was inevitable the way he was playing, right? But what I thought the timing less about him being farmed, but more about him being dropped down the batting order, because, you know, at the beginning of the season, he was talking about how, you know, he understands that, you know, being the number four batter is a lot of pressure and stuff. And I think, you know, that pressure, you know, it shows on guys, you know. And but even though he was underperforming in the four spot, they left him there for a long time, I thought. And I would have probably, again, this is just me being armchair manager here, but I feel like he could have been dropped down the order a little bit earlier than that to maybe try to take some of the pressure off. It was clear he was not doing too well from pretty much the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah.
So drop him down a little bit, take some of the pressure off. You've got other guys who can play number four spot pretty well. Itoi obviously can handle it. He's doing it now. He's the kind of guy who can handle it. So take some of that pressure off. But the way he was performing, I thought, you know, they held out for a long time. I mean, Rogers, the way that, I mean, Campbell and Rogers especially, I noticed, and Haig as well, too, it's true, yeah. I mean, it's like instant. Like, they slumped for like a week, and it's like, okay, go. But they stuck with Rosario for quite a while. It might be the paycheck because he's earning a lot. I don't really know.
Probably,
But they stuck with him for probably longer than I would have, too. So the timings, I think, kind of both timings are a little bit weird. I would have dropped him down the order a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And probably farmed him a little bit earlier too, maybe. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know what the reasoning behind that was, aside from maybe just trying to do something different than they did the other 2 years, and also the last 2 years, I should say, and also the amount of money involved too. So that's what I thought.
So case in point about what you said about dropping him in the order earlier, you guys know a guy named Brandon Laird, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know where he's hitting in the order right now. I think he's maybe fifth in their batting order or something like that. But even when he turned himself around, like, he had a pretty rough first half of his first season with the Fighters. They put him down in the seventh slot. Remember, you know, they got a DH, and so they've got two legit hitters, supposedly, behind him. But they put him in the seventh slot, and even after he started to show signs of life, signs of hitting home runs and making sushi, they kept him there for a long time, man. And he thrived there, and if I'm not mistaken, the manager said, just want him to have fun out there. We don't want him to feel like he's got to carry the team. And so even when he was hitting home runs in that seventh slot, they didn't say, good, he's hitting home runs, now let's give him responsibility, or now let's give him the pressure of being the number four hitter. And they said, no, you know what, he's doing great here, the team is doing fine here. So I really think, like you were saying, Jake, they could have done that, something like that with Rosario, maybe even after the first 2 or 3 weeks. Like, we're not, this is not a, you know, 2 month project. You're not a 2 month project. If all goes well, we want to keep you here for years. Just like Laird has been with the Fighters now for 3, I think, seasons. So if you put Rosario down in the seventh slot, even for up until All-Star break, or even for the whole first season, man, if he's hitting home runs down there, I mean, we got some guys that can get on base in front of him. And as we've seen in the past, at least, I would say, 2 months, you know, the first couple weeks were good, but we're not hitting home runs. So if you'd put guys on base in front of him, he might have hit the home runs down in the seventh slot a little bit more than he has in the fourth slot. We might have had a pretty happy situation. And so, yeah, I applaud Kanemoto for waiting as long as he did to farm him. And I think maybe the timing was pretty good, because I had a feeling that maybe he would be able to handle PL pitching, and that was naive of me to think that, obviously, in retrospect, but I thought maybe they would come a little bit more with their fastballs, and maybe he'd be able to handle the pitching a little bit more direct, like, we're not going to nibble, we're going to, you know, our best pitch against your strength, and it didn't happen, and he looked worse against the PL pitchers than he did against the CL pitchers.
And so
for those 4 games that he did play, it was proven, like, okay, he's not going to hit PL pitching, let's farm him.
I think by that time it was almost too late, because if you watched him during the Sabre series, especially the first game that he was playing there, it was like he was swinging at whatever came, and it was like he wasn't even looking at the ball, almost, is what it looked like. Like, he just wanted to sit back down, and I think just mentally he was just done in at that point. I don't know for sure, obviously, but I think the damage is pretty much already done at that point, and that's why I said, you know, I think they probably should have dropped him down earlier, but I don't know, you know, they haven't, they said they're looking for other guys, but that's what they've said that they always do that anyway, so I don't know how legit that all is, but I'm hopeful, you know, that something can work out, because I think, I don't know, I feel like he deserves another chance, maybe. Maybe it's I'm a little naive in saying that, because they did give him a lot of time to work it out, but I don't know, you know, it's just those low and outside breaking pitches, man, that's the main thing that does him in.
It's so, like Gomez, but add a couple more inches. Like, if it's even a couple more inches wide, he'll swing. Like,
yeah.
Gomez had the same problem.
If his bat was literally, like, 2 centimeters longer, he'd hit every one of them. It's funny, but it's just, it's weird how that is, like, literally the problem, it seems like. And they, you know, nobody seems to be able to figure it out. But I don't know, I'm hopeful that he'll make his comeback, because I just hate seeing guys go down just to sort of disappear into the void. But it's just going to depend on him being able to really tear up Farm. He's going to have to really work hard to prove that he can go back up on the top squad. And his leash is going to be extra short, even if he makes it up there. So,
What happened to Haig when he got called up. Like, he tore it up on the Farm in 2016 when he got sent down the first time. I think he was batting, like, 423 for, like, 3 weeks. And they brought him up, and they kept him up for, I think, 10 days or something like that.
Well, Rogers so, last year, when he came up for all of 3 days.
Yeah.
Then he was gone, yeah. So,
one more note, you guys, and I mean, you know this about me. I'm a Gaijin player booster. Like, I love all the foreign players, and I want them to do really well. So, with Rosario, too, who is the guy that is the first to high-five anyone that hits a home run or, you know, does something well? Like, after other guys hit home runs, Rosario is the first guy to be hugging them, to be giving them a high-five. Yeah. He's, like, almost more excited than the guy himself. And, like, just seeing that, he seems like a genuinely great guy and a good teammate. So, yeah, of course I want him to succeed.
Yeah. You need those kind of move makers. You know, guys like that on the bench are important to have, I think. And I don't know, I kind of wonder who, in Rosario's absence, who is that, you know, for the Tigers right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. I hope that he can make it through the season. I really do. I think it would show well on the Tigers, too, I think, to have a foreign player actually make it through. Because it's not just the guy. You know, there's scouts, there's front office guys who are picking these guys, too. It reflects on them as well. It would be nice for it to work out, basically, for all the people involved. And it would also, if Rosario comes down, it would give us a chance of winning the pennant, too, you know, if he could come back and perform at even close to the levels he was at in Korea. So I've got my fingers crossed. I'm pushing for him to come back, and, be cheering him on for sure.
Yeah, hey, in case you guys missed it, all of the Central League is stinking it up in Interleague, so even though we are losing like crazy, we're not losing ground like crazy. You know, in fact, like, I don't think we've even lost any ground on the cart. So there's still hope. You know, it's still young in the season. Let's go Tigers.
And they've got, luckily, hopefully the easier part of Interleague is coming up too. So hopefully they can make up for some of the terrible play that we've had this past couple of weeks, or this past week, I should say. And so fingers crossed that works out, and go Tigers.
All right, we're going to wrap up here, and we're going to go back to the studio for the next portion. So thanks, Zorni, for joining us today. I know that it was still mostly me and Jake hogging the mic, but
no
glad
problem,
you were here.
No problem. It was a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I like to talk about baseball with you guys, so like it's always a pleasure. And let's go Tigers.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, in the studios. T-Ray is in Hyogo Prefecture and Jake is over in Kyoto. And yes, we are going to talk predictions for the upcoming 3 series that we have remaining in Interleague.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
We start off hosting the Chiba Latte Marines. And against them so far in history, we are 26-22-5. We actually have a winning record, if you don't count that Japan series where they completely embarrassed us. Anyhow, Christian's going to give us some insight into the 2018 Chiba Latte Marines. Take it away, buddy.
Hello, everyone. Christian Jin here from Graveyard Baseball, covering all things Cebu Lions in English. Here to bring you the second half of the Pacific League previews. First of all, you are facing the Chiba Latte Marines over the weekend. And really, the Marines have been an interesting team for the fact that they're competing. They don't have a flashy record right now, but they are happy to be competing, unlike last year where they were in the cellar pretty much since opening day. I mean, some can make the argument they were dead after the first 3 days of the season, and they just had an awful April, never recovered, had all the stats of a last-place team. Now, this team, once again, has one problem, and it's that they lack pop. You can argue it's their ballpark, kind of like with the Tigers, having a big ballpark, and having the cold, I'm sure the cold layer out there at Zozo Town can really knock a ball down. But they're hoping for one guy to do that. I mean, I've had issues trying to name guys who can hit 15 home runs for them this year. It could be Matt Dominguez. That's the one import who got a recent call-up in May. He's had a couple really nice games, and maybe he could be their spark. But other than that, it's hard to name a guy who can hit 15 home runs that's homegrown on their roster. Hitting took a little bit of a step forward. They've drafted quite a few guys in between, some Shikaijin when you count Fujioka, Sugano, a couple of players that were recent draft picks from last fall. The big thing for them is that Takashi Ogino has been healthy, and that's a big problem of his in his career. He's always hurt. He's a fast guy, good leadoff hitter, does a lot of things right to get on base and make threats. And then Shogo Nakamura has been pretty much the breakout player I think a lot of people have been waiting for. He had a very strong second half last year, and he's continuing his momentum into this year. So he's actually been having a good year, and then Katsuyu Kakunaka is finally healthy. So, yeah, they have some guys who can hit for average, and they have two guys in Nakamura and Ogino who are pretty fast. But they are still not good as a whole offensively. Really, they got to get three base hits usually to get a run in, unless the two guys are stealing bases. So offensively, there's not a lot of threats on paper, but you never know. It's kind of strange. It's just they don't on paper hit home runs outside of Dominguez. Now, pitching-wise, you are likely going to see Hideki Wakui, and you're also going to see Mike Bolsinger. Two guys who've been pretty solid. I mean, Wakui has a great track record of eating up innings, making things tough, and competing. And Bolsinger, so far, has been the big signing for them. And he's been huge just to be in the middle of the rotation. He could be a good piece for many, many years to come. But their pitching depth is very dependent on also Ayuma Ishikawa, who you won't be seeing. Bullpen, very up and down. I don't really like the depth I've seen in middle relief. Tetsuya Ishii's a pretty good... Uchi is a pretty good closer. But yeah, you could be seeing Seiya Doi as the third starter. I'm not so sure. Maybe they'll take him down. Maybe there could be a change. So the third game could be a spot starter. I have no idea as of right now who could be the guy. But yes, they are very dependent on the starter to go deep because the middle relief is very up and down and streaky, and then the offense just not what it needs to be if they want to be an A-class team. So there's some average players. There's some okay players. There's no elite, talented players. You could argue Ishikawa is very close to that level. But yeah, offensively, there was no elite talent. That is the big issue, and that's what holds a lot of people back is why they don't think the Marines are an A-class team. So yeah, that is my thoughts on the Marines. In terms of predictions, I'm not, and this is once again kind of soft, but I do think the Marines will randomly show up and take 2 out of 3 in Koshin. I just know their fans are going to be louder in decibels per person. That's the only thing I will guarantee. But I don't know about, this is a very toss-up series, given both teams have their ups and downs.
Right. So, we got some very useful information in there about their pitchers, about their hitters, or their lack of very powerful hitters. But kind of rang a bell, didn't it, Jake?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like Christian says, we're probably going to see Bolsinger, Wakui, and maybe Doi, maybe a spot starter in there. Bolsinger is looking really good this year, we're going to have not our first-rate starters there, so I'm saying he can probably win that game against us. I think the game against Wakui could go either way, and then probably the last one we can take, depending on who it is. It's kind of hard to say. If it's going to be a spot starter, you're never really sure who you're going to get, but I think on the offensive side of things, the Marines, Ogino looks good, obviously, and then Nakamura and Kakunaka are the only other real threats, I think, so I'm going to say, assuming today it's, we're talking on Wednesday right now, and it's looking pretty rainy for the rest of the day, so I'm assuming they're going to get rained out, and Akiyama probably slides over to tomorrow, maybe, which would mean we'd have probably Iwasada Ono, and then maybe another young guy like Takahashi or Saiki there. I don't know. I'm going to think that our pitchers can buckle down, and we'll take 2 out of 3 of that series. I don't know. I feel like we can't really do much worse than we are right now against the PL. It's going to sort of depend on how the rest of the series, I guess, with Oryx plays out. But I think against the Marines, we can take 2 out of 3. So, Bolsinger is going to get us, but then we'll come back and take 2 out of that. So that's what I'm going to say for that one.
Yeah, and as we saw yesterday at the game, buddy, the home runs are leaving the park, at least if it's the other team's bats, right? Mm. So it wouldn't surprise me if at least one or two, long balls get hit by the Marines. I was at a game 3 years ago against these same Marines at Koshien, and it was Oh Soon Fan on the mound for us, top of the 9th, Ato Ikkyu in Grand Slam home run. We lost that game. Just a little trip down bad memory lane there. So, all that to say, I agree with, of course, how can I not agree with what Christian said? He knows the PL way better than we do. but you know, he doesn't know these Hanshin Tigers and the struggle that they're going through. And I kind of feel like the mood, maybe it's just my mood, but I feel like the mood in the clubhouse is really soured as well. And I don't really feel like any of these guys are on the cusp of turning their seasons around or of finding their power stroke again. I mean, Oyama has not hit a home run since, I think, week two of the season, and he's been played almost nonstop. I can't see Toritani hitting a home run for us anytime this season. Itohara, he has not hit a ball hard or deep in a long time. Ueda doesn't have that power in the first place. Fukudome is old and tired, and so I kind of feel like the only guy that might hit a home run for us is Itoi and possibly Nakatani, and maybe a miracle Umeno in there just for laughs. But sorry, guys, I'm going to predict that the Tigers go 1-2 in this one. I really feel like this is the PL's year to really completely humiliate the CL, and that would include our Hanshin Tigers.
Ouch, man. That's some serious negativity, man. I don't know. Maybe the last night's loss is kind of carried over into the morning. You got the morning after sort of loss hangover here from the game before.
Bro, it did. It hit me really hard, man. It really did. And, you know, just to update from last night, I'd said that I didn't read any of Kanemoto's post-game comments. I did now, and I'm even more angry at him than I was before. So what a jerk, man.
Yeah.
What a total jerk. He says, you know, Hojo and Ueda, they couldn't lay down the safety squeeze, which is a much harder play than it looks like. Hojo, you know, he wasn't bunting at all at Nigun. I mean, he's trying to get his batting average up and find his hitting stroke so he can make a splash at, you know, on the top squad. Mm. And he calls him up here and he's like, pinch hitter, pinch bunt for us in this crucial situation where if you don't do it, I'm going to throw you under the bus after the game. Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if baseball is fun for Hojo these days, right? Yeah. So, yeah. So I am hungover. You're right. Completely. So, anyways, let's move on. Let's hear what Christian has to say about our next opponents. Those would be the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. We will be going up to Sapporo. And up until this point in interleague history against these guys, we are 25-27-1. So we're just a little bit below par, or above par, I guess you could say. Anyways, Christian, give us some insight into the 2016 Nippon Ichi team.
So next, in the middle of the week, you guys are going to be facing the Fighters going up the Sapporo Dome. Of course, the Fighters really are the biggest surprise in the Pacific League so far. I think a lot of people expected them to be a B-class team, and right now they're right in the hunt for the pennant. This is a team that, of course, is missing Shohei Ohtani as he is with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, as a lot of us could say. I knew mentally they were going to be fine. I knew they played majority of last year without him, so that was not an issue. I just wasn't sure if they had a pitching ace or any plus pitchers in their rotation, if this was going to be a progression year or a development year. But they got a year of rebuilding out of the way last season, and I think it's really helped them out this year. So you guys are likely going to see midweek, barring no rain and injuries. It'll be Naoyuki Uesawa. You're also going to see, I believe it's Toru Murata. And then you're also going to see Nick Martinez, who's also been a solid pickup for the Fighters. I mean, Martinez, good signing. When you hit on your foreign signings, you're going to compete. He's been a good mainstay in the rotation. Murata has hung in there, and then Uesawa has mostly been pitching like an ace since he's been starting this year. So, yeah, those are, especially Uesawa, got a lot of time last season, and I think he's developed and taken that next step forward. So the starting pitching should be competitive. The bullpen is once again up and down. There's some guys who kind of come in and out, but it's a better bullpen than some of the other Pacific League teams as of right now. The starters should all compete, should make it very interesting. It should not be an easy task. Now the hitting, they still have their speed and defense. I think defense has been a big thing they're dependent on. When you got guys like Haruki Nishikawa, who's very athletic in the outfield, and then you have Takuya Nakashima on the infield. They always do a very good job of putting a defensive emphasis when developing their guys. Now, some of the other guys you're going to be seeing, of course, we all know Brandon Laird hits home runs. Sho Nakata can hit home runs. But the big guy who's been hitting home runs also is Taishi Ota. He's got quite a bit of pop, and that's been a pretty good trade that's working in their favor. Ota, you can tell he's an athlete, but he's really been hitting for them the last couple of years, so that's also been a very good pickup. There's a lot of guys who are, you could say they're power dependent on those three guys, but they can also steal on the base paths as well. So the offense can be up and down. They can score a really crooked inning, or they can forget how to hit. It's just one of those ups and downs offensively, but there's still a threat. I don't think it's as balanced of an offense as it needs to be, but the Fighters' pitching should keep things a lot closer and better in their favor. So when I'm predicting this series, I'm going to say that the Fighters will sweep the Tigers. I think the Fighters' pitching is much, much better than what maybe some of the competition the Tigers have faced in interleague play so far. So, yeah, that's what I have. They're getting swept in Sapporo in my book, but who knows, right? This is why they play the games.
All right, so there you have it. The Hams are back after a really rough 2017. They're looking good again, and Christian gave us some good analysis as to why they look good. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, they do look really good. Pitching looks really good, too. So I'm going to say we take one out of the three games. I think that, you know, assuming we have our top-tier guys, Messenger or Akiyama, one of those guys is going to buckle down. We're going to have a low-scoring game, you know, kind of a pitcher's duel kind of thing. But I think in that sort of situation, we have a chance of taking one of them. Messenger has had a couple of rough outings lately. I think, though, that that's just a short-term thing. I think he's going to come back and settle down. So I'm going to say either he or Akiyama gets us, you know, keeps us in the game well enough to get a win. But beyond that, I just don't see anyone who can really shut down that kind of lineup as well. So, yeah, I'm going to say, unfortunately, I think we'll be lucky to get one game out of it. And the only other thing I would say is that I really hope that Kanemoto doesn't decide to put Fujinami back in here. I think the lineup is just going to completely eat him up if he goes back there. You know, they're just playing too well right now. So I'm hoping that he will hold off on playing Fujinami until the following series, which Christian will tell us about in a second. But I don't know, Jake,
he's the ace, bro. Fujinami is our future ace, and he has to understand that he's not allowed to go up against patsies. He's not allowed to gain his confidence back. He's got to suffer through this like a good Japanese boy, go against the toughest team, take his lumps, and eventually he'll come back as the ace if Kanemoto doesn't completely squelch him first.
No. Tell it to someone who cares, man. I hear you, man. It's ridiculous how they've treated him. It's just, and it doesn't work. It's clear that it doesn't work. You can't just throw him up against a really good team, expect different results, throw him under the bus if he doesn't get him, you know, punish him by leaving him in the game really long. They just got to start treating him a little bit differently. It's like that article that I translated a little while back, you know, talking about special treatment. You know, it's not this sort of coddling special treatment. It's like, we've got this potentially really good pitcher. Let's do whatever we can to get him back where he needs to be. And, you know, throwing him up against the Fighters is not going to be the way to do it. So I'm just really hoping that somebody up in the front office, you know, sort of has that good instinct and puts him in against the Eagles instead of the Fighters. So
I know Yano's got the instinct. I wish he was our manager.
Man, hopefully, you know, you're determined to get me to rant about Kanemoto, I think, here. I'm going to hold off, man.
No, it's okay.
No, honestly, though, like we were talking about last night, I don't know if Kanemoto's going to be around that much longer anyway, if things continue the way they are. But that being said, yeah, we should probably move on. What do you think about the Fighters series?
Well, I mean, the Fighters have some good bats and they have some weak bats. They have some hot bats and some cold bats. I mean, you look at a guy like Shohei Nakata and he might go 0 for the series, or he might hit a home run in each game. Even Brandon Laird, he's very prone to hot and cold spells. And so we don't know which Fighters are going to show up, and certainly how they do the rest of this week might determine how they do against us. But hey, man, I'm on a downer here. So why would I predict anything but doom and gloom for our team? I want to believe that we could, realistically, we could take this series because, like you said, we've got Randy and Akiyama going to the mound. But I said the same thing about the Hawks series, right? Mm. We had both of them in there, and we got nary a win. Mm. And this one is going to be on the road. We're going to have the DH, and, you know, we don't really do well with the DH, and they're accustomed to having the DH. You know, they've also got a guy named Kensuke Kondo, who I don't believe Christian even mentioned, who is hitting over 350 and has just been getting tons of adoration from especially the English-speaking NPB community. So they are very strong, and I'll say one out of two as well, just as my default. I mean, you know, instinct says actually 0-3, and the Tiger fan in me says 2-1, but I'll go 1-2.
All right.
Okay. And finally, we're going to look at the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. Is that the full name? I always forget exactly. Yeah. Anyhow, against them so far in history, we are 28-25. and we have yet to face them in the playoffs. This was Hoshino, the late Senichi Hoshino's dream was to see a Rakuten and Hanshin Nippon series. And guess what? It ain't happening in 2018 because this team, I'll leave it up to you to decide what this team is. Anyways, is extremely weak this season. Christian, give us some insight into the Rakuten Eagles.
So to end interleague play, the Tigers are going to go up to Sendai and face the Rakuten Eagles. Really, this has been a disaster season, and some context to that is they had a very strong first half last year, and then they had a very bad second half. And then in the playoffs, they actually showed up. And I think that by winning the playoff series last year, as well as winning the first two games at the final stage of the Climax series, it kind of gave them false hope and complacency because they haven't changed a lot of approaches from last year's team. And really, it's coming to bite this year. The biggest issue is they're not hitting. The Eagles have forgotten how to hit as a whole. A lot of guys have taken just a terrible nosedive, like Igoro Mogi, who I have a lot of expectations for. Now, in terms of just hitting, a lot of guys are replacement level or below average in my book. They're home run dependents. A guy like Carlos Peguero has to be hitting. A guy like Zealous Wheeler needs to be hitting. And while Wheeler has kind of picked it up as of late, they're still not getting the bats that they need if they want to compete. I mean, Toshiaki Imai is carrying them offensively. Well, he can be a good hitter. He's not supposed to be the leader. That's a bad sign. So, yeah, the Eagles are not hitting as a whole. They have called up a guy recently named Kazuki Tanaka, who's been the interesting spark. But, yeah, the Eagles just offensively are not there. And then pitching-wise, they've actually competed when it comes to starting pitching. Guys like Takayuki Kishi and Takahiro Norimoto have them competitive. But once the bullpen is in, it's all been a downhill spiral. And like Yuki Matsui, having a very, very bad year so far. Pretty much the entire bullpen is having a bad year as well. That's also hurting them besides the offense. So now, likely, barring no rain, it could be this is kind of a penciled in lightly on who you're facing considering they're outdoors. But Wataru Kadashima, who's been pretty good and competitive. You have Takahiro Norimoto. And then the third game could be Manabu Mima. But once again, this is just lightly penciled in. Who knows what's going to happen. I mean, Norimoto is pretty good when he's not facing the Lions. I can tell you that much. He still strikes out a lot of guys, but he gives up also a lot of contact. So, but the biggest thing for the Tigers is they need to get to the bullpen, and then suddenly they can just light them up. I think going into Sendai, yeah, the Eagles actually don't win at home, as a lot of you have probably seen. The Swallows went in there and swept them. But I think the Eagles can take one out of three. I think the Tigers will take two out of three, but there's a shot at a sweep. They can sweep the Eagles if they can just outpitch them. But I think a guy like Norimoto can come in there and get a win. But once again, these are two teams that have struggled with offense. I think that's a very even matchup on paper. But I expect the Tigers' bullpen to be the big difference maker when they're facing each other. So, yeah, the Eagles, I think their season is all but over. This is a disaster. And who knows what's going to happen, but this is definitely the worst team at NPB without any question after they were swept by the Swallows in Sendai. Once again, I wanted to say thank you again for having me on the show, and also thanks for Enokita, as well as a big thank you to having the best plate appearance in interleague play, which was Fujinami and Tomoya Mori facing each other. That just made my day and made my 3 weeks of interleague. So have a good one, everyone, and Matane. Thanks again.
Yeah, so, I mean, they do have some good pitching, right? I mean, they've got Norimoto, who is an ace. He's not having a great season. But they do have some quality pitching, but they also have some very weak pitching, and their hitting has been atrocious this year. What do you think, Jake? Is this our true chance to possibly sweep a series, maybe even, bring some respectability to this interleague mini-season?
Yeah, well, with the way we're playing right now, this is the only chance we got, I think. So, yeah, I'm gonna go into this one. I'm going to say that... Yeah, we'll go 2-3 at least, and possibly a sweep. It's really going to depend on the starting pitching. I think their starters are a little bit iffy right now, and although I don't know that well, if Christian says that the bullpen is kind of a disaster, then I think we're going to have better chances here than we would anywhere else. So it's just going to depend on our pitchers, our younger pitchers sort of holding it down, and perhaps Fujinami can come in here, relax a little bit, enter this park that has been friendly to him before, throw a good game, you know, that might sort of set the tone. And I sort of hope we go out on a better note, or I really hope that we go out on a better note than we've had for all this interleague play. We really need to finish it off with some semblance of, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel or whatever. So I'm going to try to be optimistic and say, yeah, we go 2 out of 3 at least. A sweep would be great, but I almost think that that's impossible at this point with this current team. So I'll say 2 out of 3, and hopefully we can sort of end things on a positive note.
I'm going to continue on your hopefully trend. This word keeps coming up because it's the only way that we remain Tigers fans. Yeah. Remember last season, we actually faced these Rakuten Eagles very last in the interleague schedule, and we won the first game, and then we lost the next two. And that sent us spiraling. We actually lost 6 straight Central League matchups after that. And so hopefully the opposite happens this year. You know, like, even if we struggle a little bit, if we can end on a positive note here, maybe we can bring that into league play. And honestly, I mean, that's our greatest chance to be able to gain ground on, especially the Carp, who we face right after interleague ends.
Yeah, we're going to need some momentum there, because last year too, I remember after that string of 6 losses you just mentioned, that was kind of the turning point for the season too. That was kind of when it was like, okay, this team is not going to be like a real serious contender. Like, I know we took it into the playoffs, but you just knew that there wasn't enough, you know, oomph in the team to really do anything with it. So like I said, yeah, we're going to need some momentum, especially we're facing the Carp after that. We can't really let much more distance get between us and them. We need to go in and do our jobs properly. So yeah, hopefully we get some momentum here out of interleague. You know, we get sort of shot out of the other side of this interleague tunnel, you know, with a little bit of force, which would be nice, you know. Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, it's hard to say, but if we can do it against anyone, it's going to be the Eagles. So, you know, take that for what you will.
Well, you're exactly right that we do need to heat up and in a hurry. And thanks for allowing me to segue into what I wanted to mention. And that is, how many wins do you think this team needs on the season to win the Central League pennant? Before you even answer, I'll give the answer, and I'll kind of do it historically speaking. So last season, the Carp had 88 wins on the season. The season before, they had 89. 2015 was a bit of an aberration when the Swallows won it with 76 wins, and the season before that, the Giants won it with 82 wins. And so if you take that, average it out, I would say you probably need about 83, 84 wins on the year. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, about that. I don't know if it's an exact average, but the Tigers currently are sitting at 24 wins on the year.
Yep.
Okay, so that means they need 60 more wins.
Yep.
We've played 51 games. That means there's 82 left. If we need 60 more wins,
we need to be hot for the entire rest of the season.
60 and 32, I would say, is the bottom line. Like, if we want to win, if we want to hope to win, I should say, the Central, we need to go 60 and 32, worst case scenario, the rest of the way.
Yep.
Bro.
You're really trying to pull us all down, man. This is like the biggest wet blanket of a podcast we've done in a while, I think, man. It's true, though, man. It's not looking good. I mean, luckily the rest of the CL has been doing poorly through interleague as well. So we haven't, again, like we were talking about, we haven't lost that much ground. We're only 5.5 games back from first place, from the Carp. So that's not an insurmountable difference. You know, we need to just basically, we sweep a series, they get swept in one series, and we're right there. But you know that they're not going to roll over and play dead. And the other thing is that DNA's in front of us. The Giants are right behind us. And Yakult's tied. I mean, they're basically tied with the Giants now, too. And then Chunichi's just behind them with a half a game behind them. It's log-jammed, man. And so nobody's rolling over easily this time. And our team just doesn't really have that kind of spark. So
well,
this could
really recently,
go
everybody's
anywhere.
Rolling over easily. But yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I don't see this going anywhere positively for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, it doesn't look good right now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that having been said, like you said, you know, there's only one team that's kind of clearly ahead of the pack. And even the Carp are only 8 games above 500 right now, which is quite low for them. They might only be on pace for about 80-ish wins on the season, maybe 81 or 82. So, yeah, like maybe we don't need the super season, but we're still going to need to beat the Carp, and we're going to have to beat them often. And that's been a big problem. But that's another story for another episode.
Yeah.
So one more thing before we close off. I did get an email. I remember before Pacific League or Interleague play started, I'd asked if anyone wanted to send their predictions our way. And I did get one email from somebody in the UK. and it was Fran Donnelly who gave me a whole bunch of predictions. Said we would go 1-2 against the Hawks. Pretty close. We were 0-3. Said 0-3 against the Lions. Pretty close. We were 1-2. So that evens out, right? Said 3-0 against the Buffaloes. Well, already that's out the window, but I said the same thing. Said 2-1 against the Marines, 0-3 against the Fighters, and then 1-2 against the Eagles. And I'm not sure why so poorly against the Eagles, but anyways. And then for DHing, Fran says, hopefully Haraguchi, and we did see that Haraguchi has been getting more playing time. I think he played a couple of the games against the Lions. And then again, against the Fighters and Eagles, we're going to have DH again. So anyhow, cool stuff. You know, someone sent an email and sent in some predictions. And if the overall aggregate record is right on, I may have to send Fran a prize. Unfortunately, Fran only predicted a 7-11 record for us. So I really hope that it's wrong.
Yeah, well, that might be what we're on pace for right now. We might actually be lucky to get that at this rate. But yeah, we hope... Again, we're hoping that they're wrong, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything so far that makes me think we're going to pick it up too much, so we'll see.
Yes, indeed we will. I mean, the only way to do it is to see, and the only other option we have is to not see, and that would be not watching games, which is a viable option at this point, truth be told. There you go, everybody. So thank you once again for your time and passion for the Tigers. Thank you. I know I sound maybe a little bit down and depressed, or I have through this whole episode. Hey, man, that's life as a Tigers fan. I'm getting used to it. So you're going to see a few articles on my page about why I don't like our manager. I'm planning a 3-article series, so look for that. You can catch all sorts of other news, of course, on the website. You can find the podcast there as well, www.thehanshintigers.com. Find this podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. Just type in those 4 magic words, as you always do. You're going to find it there. If you could write a review, that would be cool. More reviews means higher up on the search engines and stuff. And hey, who doesn't want to get higher up in the standings? Tigers. So you can get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook as well. We are there. Search for Hanshin Tigers List English News. You can follow me on Twitter at the Hanshin Tiger. Jake, you've joined Twitter as well. Do you want people to follow you?
I'm not quite there yet. We'll see. I got to start up my game a little bit. Yeah, it's amazing. I've held out on Twitter for up until now, you know, since whenever Twitter started. It was the only social media that I never really got on. So let me build up my standing a little bit there, and then maybe I'll be with the rest of you guys.
All right, so you will find him there eventually anyways. And you can find me on Instagram. Check me out at the Hanshin Tiger. Until next time, keep cheering, everybody, until we stop with the ridiculous sacrifice bunting. Have a great week, everyone.